This is the Joy of Gaming. Welcome to the Joy of Gaming podcast, episode 12?
12.
Okay. I'm your host, Rich Lepore, and I'm here with...
Jordan Alseca.
And Tim McNeil.
And today we are honoring the upcoming, or soon, very soon to be released, Batman... What is this new one called?
The Dark Knight Rises.
The Dark Knight Rises, even though it's really like The Dark Knight Falls, kind of, right? I mean, it's kind of like it's kind of like the end of the trilogy. So I don't know. It sounds like the beginning is all I'm saying. You know,
it'll be interesting to see how it ends. That's the thing about it. Really, is people think he might die, or that he'll be triumphant. I was actually completely unaware of the fact that it took place 8 years after the last one.
Yeah.
Until like last week.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to like he's like older and wiser slash more jaded. I don't know if that's possible with Bale. But anyway. In honor of the release of that film, we are going to be talking about superhero video games. We're going to focus on Batman first, and then we're going to move along to some other games we like and vilify those that we do not. And we also have some news, as usual, a little bit about actually some Batman, Yakuza, Assassin's Creed, etc. And as always, we're going to start off talking about what we've been playing, and I think I'll keep with tradition, Jordan, and start with you. What have you been playing, Jordan?
Not a lot, just because nothing's come out. It's been kind of...
Doldrums, man.
Yeah,
doldrums.
Slow couple of weeks. But I have played a couple of downloadable titles.
Oh, good. DLC, look, downloadable titles lately, arcade games, it's like almost as legit. You know what I mean?
Oh, they are. They are. In fact... I think I've said this before, Fez is still my favorite game of this year.
Right, right. You know, arcade game or not, yeah.
And the two that I've played so far, they're both really good as well. And I'll start with, one of them's very much inside my wheelhouse, the other one is completely...
Not.
Yeah.
But still
fun.
Still really pimp, okay.
And I'll start with that one, which is Spelunky, came out.
Now, is this related to Splunker?
No.
You know what I'm talking about? That like 8-bit NES game, Splunker. It's like really abysmal, but
no, it's
got some interesting ideas.
It's like an HD remake of a PC downloadable pixelated game called Spelunky that came out a few years ago.
So akin to Cave Story, sort of.
Yeah, but it's not a Metroidvania platformer. It's a roguelike.
Interesting. So, sorry, I keep making comparisons here, but so is it a little bit like what was that one by? The guys who made Meat Boy.
Oh,
that roguelike that one
Isaac,
dude made.
Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, Binding of Isaac. Is it a little like that?
Yeah, because you basically the game is 16 levels long. Okay. It's 16 levels long, and it is you can actually beat it in 8 minutes if you're good at it.
Huh. Have like you done so?
No. One of the achievements is beating the game in under 8 minutes.
Okay.
But it's extremely hard. You get 4 hits in your entire... Like, you start off with 4 hits.
That sounds a hell of a lot like Binding of Isaac, in fact.
Yeah, and once you die, you have to start over.
But you can get more hearts and stuff.
Yeah, if you save the damsel on each level, they give you a kiss, and that ups your health by one.
Oh, my God.
But...
Wow, what did I sound like there? Go ahead. Sounded like the guy from... the gay dude from Sex and the City. Anyway. Not that there's anything wrong with him, you know, but...
But there'll be a snake. It hits you. You lose a heart. Spiders hits you. Lose a heart. There are boss enemies that'll take 2 hearts. Traps that'll take 2 hearts. And by the last world, it's split up into 4 worlds of 4 levels each. By the temple area, pretty much everything kills you in 1 hit, no matter how many hearts you have. So it gets ridiculously hard. And it's kind of a war of attrition getting better in that game. I know that I'm up to 315 deaths total.
Wow.
And I've only gotten to the first level of the temple.
Wow.
I die pretty much immediately every time.
Numerically out of 16, what level is that?
13.
Okay. So you're pretty far for roguelike.
Relatively.
Roguelikes are freaking brutal.
Well,
all of them by definition.
They are. It does have a nice thing where you can build a shortcut So like you get to the end of the first area, which is the mines, and there'll be a tunnel man. He'll be like, give me some bombs. And he'll be like, give me some rope. And then he'll go, give me money. And you give him those three things each time you get there, and he'll build a tunnel, and you can just go straight to the second world. But they get progressively harder to build. I haven't built a tunnel to the temple because I gave him the bombs and rope he needs, but the last thing he needs is a golden key from the mines.
Wait, but if you get those things, you can then continue from there, from the beginning?
From the temple, yeah. You can just start at the last four levels. But in order to do that, I have to get the golden key from the mines, which are the first four levels, and bring it all the way through the end of level 12, which...
Why is that not doable?
Because when you're holding a key, you can't hold weapons or damsels to give you a heart.
Oh, so it nerfs you big time.
Yeah. And it's just a hard game in general. I haven't legitimately gotten through all 12 levels in a single go anyway.
You've just done like tunneling and shit.
Yeah, because it's a very hard game.
Right. It's really a lot. I watched a lot of YouTube videos of Binding of Isaac, and I've seen other roguelikes too, and a lot of it is patience.
It is.
You know, do not get miffed that you just got to, you had to start back at the beginning. Do not get like hasty, because every heart is like so crucial.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about it, is that because the levels are so short, you don't feel that bad when you die. I mean, it's most of the runs you'll have are 2.5 minutes long before you die, and then you have to start over, and it's not that bad.
Well, that's not bad at all. It's almost like 30 second hero, whatever.
Yeah,
similar. But anyway,
plus all the levels are randomized, but in a logistical way. There's no like traps. Everything clearly has an authorial hand behind it, but it's still randomized in such a way that you can get to the end of the level.
But there's not like things that spring out at you randomly and make you really pissed.
No.
Okay. So it's not
things
like
will,
invisible trap that you just fall through and you're dead and you could never have known where it was.
No, no, you'll see stuff. You can see everything, but if you get hasty, it's going to
exactly,
hit. And
exactly.
That's the thing about it. Everything feels fair when you get killed.
I think roguelikes are generally for that, where it's hard but fair, sort of like Beautiful Joe, where it's just like, this game's hard as balls.
Oh,
but
my
it
God.
It was that mistake that I made.
I can't get anywhere in that game.
Yeah, because it's hard, but you know, it's doable. It's not
I'm surprised that you say that. I mean, I found it like excruciating.
And
I tried. I wanted to love it. I was so bad at it. Sorry.
Another thing about it, like it seems every indie game needs, it has Super Meat Boy as a cameo character that you can play as.
What is going on?
People seem to love Super Meat Boy.
I mean, no doubt, but...
But it's a fun game. I'm enjoying it, and I'd like to at least beat it once. The achievement lists are Mega Man 9 and 10 hard, though, because most of them involve ridiculously hard things to do.
Isn't it funny how Mega Man 9 and 10 have become like... adjectives for difficult achievements. Yeah, it's Mega Man 9 hard.
But yeah, it's a fun game, and I recommend trying it out because it is addicting. It does have one problem, though, and apparently I'm the only one. It freezes every other time I try and start it. So I turn the system on, start the game, it freezes, I have to turn it off, and then turn it back on and try again. It's weird.
Which, for a game you restart constantly, kind of sucks.
No. It's not life restart. It's like when I turn the game on.
Okay.
So otherwise, I wouldn't have bought it.
Yeah.
The other game I've been playing is Quantum Conundrum.
Which is much ado. This is Kim Swift from Portal's new game.
Yes.
Portal fame. She's not from Portal anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she left after... I mean,
Portal
she did
1,
some
right?
Valve work. She helped work on Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2 a little.
Hmm. Did she do Portal 2? No.
No, she left by then because she wanted to focus on making smaller experience-type games as opposed to the big adventure, sprawling spectacle that Portal 2 was. And both are good in their own right because Portal itself was a great game. And so in Quantum Conundrum, you get this glove that lets you shift dimensions around you.
Did you finish it?
I have not finished it yet. It's actually quite long. It's 51 puzzle rooms in it, which is considerably up from Portal's 13 or so.
I think it was 20.
Yeah, 17. 19. But none of them are like ridiculously short, like some of Portal's earliest stuff. But
sure.
Is it weird that I remember the number of boards in Portal that it was a prime number less than 20?
No, because you're you.
But it's really fun. I haven't even actually seen all the dimensions yet because I haven't done the reverse gravity dimension. But the way they all interact are really well thought out. The puzzles are difficult. I have had at least 3 or 4 of the 20-some I've played that stumped me for about 15 minutes where I was taking forever to figure out what I was doing.
I think that you love that, though.
Yes. Because once I finally figured it out, I was like, you know, I smacked myself in the head.
If you don't cheat,
yeah,
right.
Those are the most satisfying things where you're just sitting there for a long time. You're like, oh, I never tried that. That's it. That's the small thing I missed the
and
whole
sometimes,
time.
I like it when it's that.
Yeah.
As opposed to as opposed to there's so many little loose ends that you have to be fiddling with that it's like, even once you figure it out, it's like, now I have to execute this ridiculous sequence, you know? I'd much rather one like you're talking about, Tim, where it's like, oh my God, of course, it's that simple.
Up until now, Braid. Yeah, up until now, it's been very step-by-step type of thing, where you don't have to do everything in one miraculous run.
That's nice.
Now, it has time trials.
It's not like shooting one of those music videos where it's like 3 minutes and 30 seconds without a single cut.
No. Okay. Now, there are time trials where you essentially have to run
with spinning plates on each hand.
Which I'm going to do because I completed Portal's achievement list. I wouldn't mind doing it for this one, though. This one is much longer and harder to do stuff. It's a little finicky. Portal was pretty seamless in terms of how well everything controlled. There wasn't a lot of finickiness to it. You know, you threw something at a portal, it was going to go through. You could figure out the rough physics of things falling through portals pretty easily. In this, it's a little finicky because it's a lot more based on your ability to do stuff. Because,
how do you mean?
One of the main mechanics is slowing time. So you'll throw something and then slow time, and you'll ride on it across stuff because you'll throw it, slow time, and jump on top of it, and it keeps its trajectory.
Wait, is it first person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, just in my experience having to, like, see, Portal wasn't about really your character that much. I mean, a little bit it was, but it wasn't like jumping on things, really.
Yeah, there's a lot more platforming in this.
I see.
Now, it's
very
generous. First-person
platforming is whack, usually.
It's actually very good, I'd say.
That's great.
But there's a lot of problems of just throwing things at the right angle and trying not to die. And then picking stuff up properly. It's a little fiddly, not too bad, but it's not as like seamless as Portal is. But on the whole, it's just really fun. All the different dimensions are cool. And it does. It just has that moment where you're going to be... It apparently tricks your brain a lot because you'll be thinking of big, grandiose things by the, you know, midpoint. And then sometimes it'll throw a simple puzzle at you, which will completely F with your head because you'll be overthinking it. And in fact, Tycho from Penny Arcade said just that thing about the game, that he spent like 30 minutes on a puzzle that should have taken him 20 seconds.
Right.
Because the game had kind of just prepared him for that.
So do you think that it was intentional? Like they put a really crazy puzzle and then like a really like basic one just to like F with you?
I think so. I mean,
that's clever.
That way.
That's clever.
It's kind of, it's
like meta puzzle in and of itself.
You know what I mean? Not just a straight incline in difficulty. It's a roller coaster. And John clever. Delancey does the voice of the professor in it, which is awesome.
Who's that?
Q from Star Trek.
Oh, there's a lot of voice acting now.
Yeah. And he just delivers it great. It's not the performance of GLaDOS from Portal, but it's still a very fun. So it's a good game, and
cool.
I recommend it.
Have you guys played a game called 100 Floors that you can download on the phone?
No, but it sounds pretty sweet.
It's kind of cool, actually.
Every once in a while, Tim comes up with some gem like this. Go ahead.
It's like a puzzle game to where it'll be a situation to where they just give you a room, and it'll be like, all right, you got to open the door, but they won't tell you anything. So it'll be like a situation to where it'll be like, okay, if I tilt my phone this way, the thing in front of the door is going to tilt in front of it because it's ice or something like that. So then I can get to the door. Well, other times there'll be situations where there'll be like, you know, a screw up in a corner that you can hardly see. But then when you unscrew it, something will fall over and you got to figure it out and sort of stuff like. But it's the same sort of thing there where he was talking about the quantum conundrum where it's like sometimes you get the really, really complicated board. And then the next board's just like, oh, yeah, I just needed to do this. But I was thinking of something completely different.
Yeah. Well, sounds good. How long did you play that?
I played it, I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. We're talking
about
recently.
Yeah, I played it recently. Yeah.
Okay. We're not talking about like 10 years
now.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. I mean, you can do the first 30 of them pretty easily, but then it gets like, you're racking your head like, oh my God, this is crazy. I haven't gotten through all 100 floors. In fact, I don't think all the 100 of them are actually created yet. I think it's just at the 50 right now, but the developer's still doing them. Well, with that being said, I guess I'll go into what I've been playing.
Yeah, man.
Because it's already a natural transition there. But I pretty much just finished off Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Okay.
And I understand the hate that it gets, and I still like it in some ways, which is kind of hard to say.
Sure.
I agree with that, actually. I really thought Revelations was, I don't know, fine?
For me, it's got some of my favorite moments in the series so far, but also my least favorite ones, where it's just like, I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they didn't fix this small little bug, or they didn't make this better. This is so stupid. But then at the other side, it has moments that I really, really liked. And so it's very sporadic in a lot of ways that I thought about it. But overall, I still enjoyed it. Because like, there's some stuff like the Desmond little quests. Oh my god, those are dumb.
The first person things?
Yeah, those are
See,
so stupid.
I thought those were fun, but no, I thought they so brought a portal-y type of puzzle feel to them. I didn't know. Look, logistically and in universe, they're stupid. But I thought just doing them was kind of fun.
Well, it's just like I had put those off until I was going to do them all at once. Then when I started doing, it was like, oh my god, these are dumb. So
maybe
dumb.
That wasn't the move. Maybe the move was like, you know, spreading out the shittiness.
Maybe, but even so, I'm just like, oh man, these are dumb. It's like, and but it, I kind of wanted to do them because you get the, like the backstory of Desmond and yeah. stuff like that. But they're just so stupid. And then like random glitches throughout the entire game, those bothered me a lot. Where there'd be times where it'd be like, stand at this position and do something, and then I'll be standing in the position, but it won't let me do what I need to do, and it's just like throw the bomb, and it's just like. I'm pressing the button to throw the bomb. Why is it not throwing the bomb? Why is nothing happening when I'm doing this? I need to restart this whole thing. And I saw a lot of those. But then, like, I felt it was the most character-centric one of them. I felt that you actually got to understand the characters a little bit more than it was, you know, some grandiose scheme a lot of the time.
That's really what I liked about it. I really got the sense of Ezio just being tired in that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was still kicking ass a lot of the time, but he felt it just seemed like he was fed up with being caught up in this struggle. And I liked his interactions with Sophia throughout the game,
yeah,
too.
I liked those a lot, too. It's just like I felt like you got to see how their, you know, relationship came to be and stuff like with it. And I thought it fit well in terms of pacing with it. That's the problem I had with Brotherhood is sometimes is like I like the gameplay, but I thought the storyline was the weakest of the three in that one.
Yeah.
Interesting. Are you excited about for three now? More so? Less so?
Yeah, actually, I'm excited a little bit more.
Awesome.
Because it'll come up in, what, like 3 months or so? And so
yeah.
Yeah, not very long.
It's going to be awesome. What else, Tim?
I also played a little bit of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. I played that game, you know, 3 years ago when it came out.
Sucks.
I think it gets too much hate.
I think it gets not enough hate. I think that game sucks it. I think everything about that game is broken. I love the first one. And when I got the second one, like the day it came out, I was so excited. I was like, this is going to be awesome. It switched developers, but it was still like, you know, they were still going to keep true. Civil War, you know, plot line was going to be sweet from the comics. I was so excited, man. And, like, the characters aren't even as big anymore. The team-up attacks blow. Like, but the worst part for me is the very basic combat. Like, the couple moves you have and the hand-to-hand combat, it just feels not as visceral and punchy. It's like they took a, you know, the brawler parts of it and they just suck. I don't know.
See, I think it went from being like straight RPG and Marvel Ultimate Alliance to being much more brawler in general.
Yeah, but not good mechanics. They don't feel, it doesn't feel like your punches and moves connect. Like, bam. I don't know.
I disagree with that.
I think for me, you know, it was a decent time, but I'm with Rich.
Plot
where
blows
I,
too.
Yeah, the plot is stupid. Yeah,
well, okay. But yeah, I'm with Rich where I don't think it was as good. I mean, obviously it wasn't as good as one, but I think my biggest problem was it was in development for 3 years, and
I know.
That's the game we got. And, I mean, if it had been a quick turnaround, it would have been lame, but there was a lot of hype built up around it. And I don't mind it. I played it over, like, a weekend, and
yeah, I mean,
I don't regret it.
It's a run-through. I mean, I just – nothing that – like, I often talk about on this podcast, like, games having, like an X factor or a secret sauce, and that game just doesn't have it, in my opinion, whereas the first one does. The first one is just inherently fun. And the second one, I just was like, well, it's a game. It meets X, Y, and Z criteria. It's got way less, you know, you're talking about it made it a brawler, Tim?
Yeah.
Like, AKA, you know, each character has way less customization ability.
Yeah. Well, like, in some ways, I kind of like that about it with it, because I think they focus a little more on...
I'm surprised
on,
to hear you say that.
Well,
I thought you liked character customization a lot.
I do, but I think in this situation, they streamlined it. Because a lot of the times you would have, you know, I could get 5 or 6 abilities with this one character, but I'm never going to use these 3 because they suck. So I'm just going to use these 3. And I felt that was the case for many of the characters. And there was no point usually to spreading out your points because you can only use 4 or 5 attacks at a time. So this was just basically, as opposed to having that be the issue with almost all the playable characters, let's just give them 4 abilities. And so I thought that was kind of, you know, not a horrible thing.
Well, but the problem is, to give it then still give it like depth and diversity, they put in those team up attacks.
Yeah.
And they suck. I hate them. I don't know.
I thought there wasn't enough variety in them.
And
I thought when
fun.
You first saw them, they were cool. But then later on, it's like, wow, this is pretty much the exact same power up as that other person.
And it's a lot like, I mean, not that they take nearly as long, but it's a lot like summons in certain Final Fantasy games. It's like, I've already seen this. I don't know. It's like an animation. Oh, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? Canned animations over and over and over.
Well, I think in the game, they wanted you to switch up your team wars teams more. And I think when you do that, that isn't such a big issue because there is a lot of different animations for all the abilities.
That was another thing, though. Like, not every team has different abilities. Like, certain like this guy and this guy or this guy and this guy, they have the same move.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the characters, lame, too. I mean, they're like all... every single team should have a separate move.
That would have been a lot of different combinations to make.
Yeah, maybe.
That would have been in the neighborhood of, you know, 70, 90 different combinations and stuff with it. I mean, that would have been really hard to do logistically.
I guess.
But, like, I don't know. There's just some things I liked about it. Like, I liked, I don't know. One of my favorite things was being the Hulk, and he's got the one move where he runs in the guy, knocks him to the ground, and then beats the crap out of
him. That's cool.
And I just love doing that move. It feels so like the Hulk to me, and I don't know. Maybe that's just why I love it, because I'm just like, I just beat the crap out of that guy was the Hulk. I don't know. I thought he did a good job as making the superheroes feel like the superheroes in a lot of it. But I thought the storyline sucks. Not as much customization, which didn't bother me that much. But, like, I don't know. I think people make it out to be it's the worst game ever. I think it's, you know, 7.5 or an 8.
Yeah, well, I'd say more like 6.57. But it's just a huge letdown. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I was really pumped for that game because I love the first one. And the first one's one of those great games to play with people. If you just have two people, it's really fun. If you have three or four people, it's even more fun.
I mean, I agree it's really fun, but that's kind of why I agree with Tim where it gets more hate than one. Because the first one's not, it's not a masterpiece of gaming. It's just really fun beat 'em up. It's and with the role-playing elements. Yeah. But it's not like it's...
Oh, I'm not saying it's a masterpiece by any stretch. There's no art. There's that's no art there.
That's why I'm saying
it has an X factor.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I was disappointed, but it's not like it was the sequel to...
Bioshock that,
Yeah, so, you know.
I totally get what you're saying. Well, I'm going to... That was it, Tim, right?
Yeah, pretty much just the two of those.
Well, I'm going to move on. I have a little bit even less to talk about. I know it's the freaking gaming doldrums, but I played... I finished Dragon Age Origins, finally.
I saw you were playing that.
Yeah. Dragon Age Origins is awesome. Like I said, though, you know, it was because I had my pep squad with me.
Right.
My hype man. You know, every time I start saying, man, that was so cheap. How did I die like that? And he's like, dude, this is what you did wrong, and you didn't have enough potions, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, all right. You know what I mean? He talked me off the ledge about 30,000 times. But, you know, aside from that, it's a fun game. It's got a lot more in it than you would think. I mean, that game does not give it up easy. I want to say like a Christian girl or something. That's stupid. But that's just, I don't know why. I don't know what's on my mind. I don't know what's going on, man. My head's crazy lately. But anyway, that game just doesn't give it up easy, man. It's like, it just, if you want to see like the badass content in that game, like you are going to have to really like, you know, I don't know, nurture it out. I know, dude.
You
it's
make
getting
it
worse.
Sound like
it's
such
worse.
A chore. No, look, the Christian girl, we talked about furries for like 20 minutes last episode. Yeah. I think we're past the point.
All right.
But I think you make that game sound like such a chore. You had to have a pep squad.
It is a chore, but it's also really, really satisfying. Like a lot of things in life that are hard, but.
I think that's sort of a way with a lot of RPGs now. It's like sometimes you're just like, it's not that this is, you know, fun in the pure sense of like you're a little kid having fun as much as it is like, I just spent 4 fucking hours and I beat you, motherfucker.
Right.
I beat you.
It's more like, it's more like this. It's more like when you get all of their tactics right, when you set up all their equipment just right so that all of like the resistances are just right. Like you're going up against a dragon, you have all your fire resistances on. You've spent, you know, 2 hours in the menus fiddling with everything until it's just right. And then you go into that battle and it's like clockwork.
Yeah.
Your healer's healing you right when they should every time. And it's just like, bam, you know, healing. You know, and then it's just like, you know, every move right when you'd want it. And you're about to, and you switch characters to put a death hex on. Oh, but wait, Morgan already cast death hex. You know what I mean? It's just like, wow, that's pimp. So there's the, you know, it's very deep and very satisfying, but it's also the barrier to entry and the barrier to really entertainment on that game is high.
I mean,
but you need a hype man.
I think that's true for a lot of like you were saying, like I was just saying, I think that's true of a lot of RPGs nowadays. It's like, there's a big barrier for entry, and it's more about the planning for the battle than it is actually doing the battle.
Well, yeah. I'd say in everything except for Bethesda games. Those games, it's not so much planning.
It's more action
moment to moment.
See, that just sounds like so much
micromanagement.
And I don't know. I say that as someone who's...
Well, it's almost a tactical RPG, to be honest with you. It's almost like a tactical... It's it really is a lot more like a you make...
It's... You make like a global strategy, and it's just like, I got to figure out this global strategy with it. And then once you've got it, you see it go into effect, and it's just like, I kick that motherfucker's
real
ass.
Satisfying, right? And really good lore, too. Don't get me wrong. The lore in the game is great.
It just, I don't know. That one just looks so, I mean, and I've already, I think I've said this, I'm not the biggest fantasy fan, but that one just seems like so much input for, to essentially turn them into automatons to do what you want for you.
Sort of, but you still always carry, sort of, but no, I mean, because of the amount of customization that you are putting into every battle beforehand or during or whatever, it's like, ooh, the potions aren't kicking off right when they should, I gotta go and change that. So they almost aren't turning into automatons, they're almost like you just program them and then you hit execute, you know what I mean? Like, so it's not so much like program them and they're on autopilot, it's much more like tweaking them constantly. So, and you can also do it on the fly, you know, you can pause the action and scroll through just like in Mass Effect or any other game. Like BioWare game, but I mean, if you've played Dragon Age 2,
yeah,
and Dragon Age 2 supposedly, I mean, for all the other huge flaws with that game, supposedly wrecked, like the fact that there's like one area in a whole in an expansive RPG, which is so busted. But at the same time, it does make it more like what you're talking about, more moment to moment action fun.
Yeah, and I liked it for that. Again, I didn't really get into the story either of that one.
Yeah, well, that story is supposedly way weaker. I haven't played the game, but I played
the demo.
I didn't
like either story, but fantasy, meh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's,
Again, outside of Game of Thrones, I don't really like
fantasy.
When
you get into this, there's a lot of similarities to Game of Thrones, actually, and it's actually really good. But anyway, I finished Origins. Origins was great. Then we moved on to Awakening, and we just started scratching the surface of that. But it's just amazing. I mean, if you just think of it from, like, outside looking in, Origin is a huge game. It's like an 82-hour game, and that's only doing one origin and playing all the side quests and shit. And I didn't quite do all the side quests, but all the significant ones. You know, like, in a game like this, there'll be, like, fetch quests, side quests that are, like, whatever, and then there'll be real side quests with meat and story and characters. So, like, I did all the legitimate ones and about half the fetch quest ones, or maybe 75%. But anyway, so that was about 82 hours. And then there's Awakening. And Awakening is like another 40 or 50 hours. And it came out 6 months later. I mean, it's like, and it has all the same, like, it has all new characters. And it has all the same, like, for Warrior, Rogue, and Mage, you have all the same abilities, plus, like, 90 new ones. So it's an amazing expansion. I mean, it really boggles my mind that they were able to put those out so close together and back to back.
I just see them sitting in the development room just knocking it out, just like clockwork.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, well, 6 months to do 40 hours?
Well, though. No. I don't think that they – I think it had to have been started. They had to have a team going.
Well, no, I'm just saying, you know, by a certain point, that's how I see – like when you get used to the material, like what they're working with. I can see them knocking the stuff out.
Oh, sure. But the reason I originally balked at what you were saying is just because – it is very meticulously planned. Like, they took all, like, the things, like people said, like archery was nerfed in the first game and warriors didn't have like two-handed weapons didn't have any kind of sweep attacks, and they added all these kind of things. So it was definitely meticulously done. But I hear what you're saying.
Right.
I hear what you're saying. It's certainly, you know, I don't know when you
right,
start.
That's how I see the Bethesda rooms. Yeah. Knocking out stuff. Too.
Yeah, maybe. And bug fixing for like 3/4 of the time and still not getting them all. But anyway, that's really fun. I'm into Awakening now. My hype man has gone away for a little while, so I'm gonna have to put it on the back burner. But I'll get back to it soon. He's in Nashville chilling. Let's see. I played some more Gravity Rush. I like Gravity Rush. I don't love it. You know, I've heard it gets really good at a certain point. You know, it's good. I like it. It's fun. You know, blah blah blah.
I still think it's the best Vita game.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I think I like.
I'm not
Uncharted.
Saying that's saying much. But
no, certainly not. Yeah. There's like two or three that are even count. I think I probably like had the most fun with Lumines, but you know, it's hard. It's apples and oranges comparing those two games. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's more like, you know, apples and bananas. Really, it's so different. But anyway, Yeah. What's
sorry,
up?
I'm just
what's
remembering
up?
some new stuff. Sorry.
New stuff? Oh, good. We'll get. Well, actually, you know what, Jordan? That's the last game. News. Hit it up. Let your inspiration be your guide.
Okay, well, this is a little rough, but I remember we were talking about Vita just now, and Nippon Ichi, who is one of my favorite developers, they do just Gaia and the slew of PS2 SRPGs that I like so much. Side note, I did finally buy Makai Kingdom. I haven't played it yet, though.
Okay.
For the Vita?
No, for the PS2. I found it for cheap. But
they
announced...
Could have borrowed it for me. I've been thinking for a long time.
Well, whatever. $10, not a big deal. But Nippon Ichi announced 4 new games, and they have trailers for some of them. And there's one that's like, it's hard because all the names are in Japanese, but they have 2 Vita exclusive games coming. One of which You play as like a female detective and you're investigating stuff.
What? What? Noirish shit?
It's a Phoenix Wright type game.
But Victorian setting?
I don't know about that.
Oh, I thought you almost said that. Oh, okay.
No, I was
Phoenix
saying,
Wright sounds chill. I would love some more Phoenix Wright.
I was going to say visual novel.
Even better, dude. Even freaking better. Hey, speaking of that, Virtue's Last Reward should be coming out soon.
Yeah, I think it's August. I think.
Oh my God, I'm going to freaking drop dead when that comes out. It's going to be amazing. All right, go ahead.
But yeah, that was just something I remembered, and seeing as Nippon Ichi is one of my favorite developers, I thought I'd mention that.
Cool. What are the other ones, man?
I don't remember. I know they're PS3 exclusive.
I remember seeing one a while ago about that when Disgaea 4 was first coming out. They were talking about it, but I don't remember like anything about it. I remember there being like one witch girl who's like a main character or something like that, and it was like a pure medieval setting and sort of something with it.
That sounds roughly.
It sounded like something was like something in the 99 something.
I don't know about that. I know this one's called something like Division Report or
awesome.
Something report.
Awesome. Minority Report's awesome. So,
but there's that. And
like that has any relevance. Sorry,
as my brain jumps from thing to thing.
Yeah. What else?
But
how about the Batman prequel?
Yeah, that got announced.
And we're going to be talking a lot about Batman. We're going to probably not talk too much about Arkham City and Asylum because we've done that ad nauseum.
Yeah.
But the new game.
Rocksteady is apparently working on a possible prequel. That's the thing. The news reports are all there.
None of them are.
But there's no like solid.
Or you should even say they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. It's, yeah.
I mean, the internet is rife with talk of this game, but there's nothing that says here it is.
Concrete stuff.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But what we're hearing is it's going to be a Silver Age throwback prequel.
What a good call. If this is true, and it probably is, what a good call to like go. I mean, because you can't really make a third game that way. It would just be so overdone. So now they like a whole new style. That's such a great idea, especially because comic books have such a variety of styles. Like, what a way to be true to the comic source material.
Yeah, and so it's going to be about Batman's first meeting with the Joker and his first introduction to becoming part of the Justice League. So it's
going
to have
Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash. Right.
See, I'm kind of cautiously optimistic of this idea.
Well,
right
of course. Now. Of course.
Just because I don't like it when they do prequels on a lot of things, you know?
Well, see, this isn't really a prequel, I don't think, though. This is more just like a different story. You know, it happens to take place earlier, but it's not like, here are the events that led to Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it's going to be, because the whole style thing sets earlier.
I don't know. It's just I dislike prequels in general, and I don't like it when they do that style before, because like, I always find that they have to set up things that, you know, complement with the other storylines in some ways. Like, ooh, here's this little thing that happened in this thing that you didn't pay attention to, but it's actually part of this bigger thing that happened beforehand that we're going to build on now. I hate it when they do that.
See, I don't know that they would, though. I think prequel's just a thing. It'd be like saying they're saying it to say, okay, it's from Rocksteady, but I don't know that it's necessary. And again, this is complete speculation, but I don't know that it would necessarily be a like, okay, this is a story prequel, we're going to set things up for Arkham Asylum, because obviously you don't need that, and I think that they're a developer smart enough to know what works and what they don't need to do.
They're such a young developer. It's so impressive. I'm impressed.
It's like they said I think it was like a month ago, they said there are 3 to 4 hidden things still that nobody's found in Arkham City. Which I'm inclined to believe.
There are some of those things. I know in Arkham Asylum, there was something that was only discovered this year that was in the game.
Yeah.
Previews for Arkham City.
Hints.
Inside of Arkham Asylum found until now.
It's too bad Arkham City blows, but I'm just kidding. It's a good game. I just don't like it. All right. Yakuza 1 and 2 HD. Hallelujah. This is going to be freaking awesome. I've been wanting to play those games. Everybody I've ever heard is just like, Yakuza 1 has the most amazing, twistiest, turniest, awesome plot you will ever see. And 2 is like a close second in awesomeness.
Yeah, I say that even just having seen the Yakuza 3 has video.
And then I go over
20-minute video previews of both of those games.
Right, then I go over to Jordan's house. He's got Yakuza 3 rocking on his PS3. And he's just like, yeah, I just watched the preview for 1. And I'm like thinking in my head, I bet you he's going to say it's freaking awesome. And he's like, it's amazing. And I only just saw the preview, you know?
Well, I mean, it's a whole story, but it's chunked up. That thing, you get the sense of it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, and I really like
it. Well, a good story, man. I mean, you can tell it, you know, every which way, and it's fucking still a solid story, you know?
Yeah. So Yakuza 3 has been really good, too.
That's
awesome. I'm excited to play 1 and 2, because 1, you can find at GameStop, but 2 is up at that like $60, $70 PS2 game level.
Also, nobody's got you know, you got to hook up your old PS2 unless you have a backwards compatible PS3. I used to, but the hard drive was so small. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I haven't started Makai Kingdom yet. I keep looking at the PS2 going.
You really feel like
I gotta fish out wires.
My first PS3 died a little bit that had backwards compatibility.
Me too, man. Mine died.
I could get it fixed, but it's just like
exactly.
It's a big hassle to find a place to be able to do it.
It's a huge hassle. Okay. Speaking of hassles, Assassin's Creed 3 co-op missions. I was just kidding. That was a false segue. I don't know. They may be awesome. Assassin's Creed 3, they announced it's going to be co-op missions. Now, I'm a little bit skeptical because, you know, the idea here is this is going to be a separate co-op campaign, like many games. Like
I don't
Splinter
even know that
Cell.
It's a campaign as much as, like, missions.
But Splinter Cell's done this. What are some other games that have done this?
Splinter Cell did
Resistance,
the campaign
Resistance 2 did it. You know, these are I mean, and they're like mini campaigns and or... You know, Modern Warfare, the 2 and 3 did it with those Spec Ops missions. They're like co-op side content. And I always hate that. Like, I love a game that if you're going to do co-op, do it right. Let me play the whole game with my boys, you know? I don't know.
See, I like Splinter Cell's co-op, though. I liked that it was a separate thing. It was its own beast and that it had new missions specifically built for co-op.
But think about how short Conviction's campaign was, and I can't help but think that's a direct result of having to have three complete modes.
I agree with Rich sort of on this, because I look in those situations and it's just like, so if they would have cut that out, they could have put it in the first player thing, and it's, I usually don't have a person to do that side or the campaigns with, you know, the co-op ones.
I mean, but
it.
Yeah, that's a personal thing, though. I mean, you know, some people I have too many people to play with. You know what I mean? I'm not in that category either, but, you know, we gotta, you know what I mean?
Well, it's just like when you're doing a co-op campaign, I think it needs to be like one person all the way through, not like a random person or something like that. I don't know. For me, it's just more enjoyable that way.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's hard to find.
It is, especially when you're like an online only to co-op.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, I don't know.
People keep doing it, and I think Halo 4 actually is going to do the best thing with this.
Taking the best route.
Yeah, because they're going to have their single player campaign, and then after the game comes out, they're going to have weekly DLC episodes with like CG movies and new missions.
Well, yeah, but isn't the single player campaign going to be fully co-op, the whole thing?
Yeah, it's going to be fully
co-op
too.
As always, right.
So, but I think that's the thing. You get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And I think just the idea that they're going to be doing weekly DLC is cool.
No doubt. It's a great way to make money, and it's also a great way to entertain me, you know?
You know what I would still win. Love? We had talked about this before we restarted the podcast before when we played Lost Planet 2. That game sucks. Yeah. But the first board of Lost Planet 2, if you're playing co-op, is totally cool.
It's really rad, yeah.
Because you start on completely opposite sides of the map, and you're doing two completely different things, but then you're meeting up at the same destination. And I would love to see more things do that co-op-wise, where it's just like, all right, so when you were normally doing this story, there was this computer automated guy who came in halfway through after, you know, talking about doing stuff. We're going to let someone else play that entire storyline and just meet up with you halfway through and that sort of stuff. And I think that would be really cool. I don't know if they're going to do that for Assassin's Creed. And I don't think a lot of people have done it, but it's an awesome idea that I wish more people would do.
I think Assassin's Creed is taking that route because there was talk about you're in one place and then you see your opponent, your teammate's camera is like in the corner for you so that you can like see each other's views while you're like working stuff up. So I think it's going to, I mean, I don't think you're going to be together the whole time.
Anyway. Okay. I mean, but do you know what I'm talking about? Like with Lost Planet?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause it's like for people who haven't played Lost Planet, like the first board, one person is in a helicopter shooting at stuff for like 10 minutes. One other person's going through like a platforming sequence. Then they both get at the same final boss.
It was, in fact, so unique that, like, we thought something was wrong for a while.
Yeah. But it was really cool because it's like, that could kind of be cool with Assassin's Creed. Like, if you have to assassinate somebody and then someone else had to lead a diversion. And so, like, one person just had a massive fighting scene while one person was, like, sneaking up behind and had to kill a general or something
like that.
Which is
really cool for replay value, too.
Yeah. Because
you can switch roles, which is really sweet. Modern Warfare... also did that in those Spec Ops missions where it's like one guy is the guy in the helicopter killing dudes while one guy is on the ground like cleaning up the last of them, you know?
Yeah.
And then you flip it and then you're playing a totally different mission, but yet you know what it's like to be on the ground. It's cool. It's cool. I'm with you on that, man. Yeah. What do we think overall about this Assassin's Creed news? I feel like it's just like, all right, you know, throw another feature on the box, you know?
I think it could be cool. It might not be. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm still not super hyped for Assassin's Creed 3. I think the whole co-op question has remained.
This is kind of going to be, I think, a weak holiday season.
I don't. I think
really?
It's going to be pimp.
What are you looking forward to?
Now that BioShock is
a lot
not coming.
October.
Yeah, BioShock was coming out that was supposed to be really big, but like after that's got delayed, I mean, that's February
now.
No,
you might be right. You might be right. What am I excited about, you know? Halo 4, I could care less. I know you love it, Jordan, but I could care less.
It looks awesome. I think it's going to be amazing. But I'm looking forward to that. And again, a lot of these are smaller titles, but that, Virtue's Last Reward, sure. Dishonored.
Dishonored.
Persona we'll 4 Arena.
Dishonored's, I have a feeling Dishonored's going to be not disappointing, but it's going to be kind of like Singularity, kind of like Infamous. I mean, these are good games, but they're not like, wow.
Yeah. I think that same sort of thing about it. It's like, I'm looking forward to Assassin's Creed 3 because that's a series that I've really been getting into lately. And then I'll probably get PlayStation All-Stars just because, you know, I'm silly that way.
You feeling lukewarm about it? Lukewarm?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see how it turns out, but it's never going to be as fun as Smash Brothers, I think.
They've just got so much lame in it at this point.
Oh, really? Tell me about the lame.
I think Tim mentioned it before, just the whole way you kill people with special abilities as opposed to just knocking them out.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I think
I don't see that's inherently bad.
I don't see that's inherently bad. I think it'll be interesting. It's a thing that I think if done right would be a lot of fun. If not done right, it'll totally suck. I can't get excited on it because I always think, man, this may totally suck.
They are also the cast is still so limited. There's not a lot of people to get excited about, and I think they announced the release dates it's only like 3 or 4 more months. So
I mean, but they've already this far out. I think they've announced like 10 or 12 characters.
Yeah.
And there's some people you know are going to be into it who they haven't announced with it yet. And they got a pretty big stretch of stuff right now, so I'm kind of surprised. I think they'll get a good spread.
I don't know. But I think there's a lot of games I'm excited about for this holiday, just maybe not AAA titles, but I don't
Okay. Let's hear the rest. I heard Virtue. I heard...
Yeah, Virtue's Last Reward, Persona 4 Arena, both Assassin's Creeds.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Persona 4 Arena because it's supposed to have a 40-hour story mode in it.
What?
I don't know how that's...
Fighting game has a 40-hour story mode?
Really? I don't know. I mean, it's from the guys who made BlazBlue, so if someone's going to do a...
Well, I guess if you did the campaign in BlazBlue, you could maybe get about 20 hours out of it, just because it was a long time, and there were so many branching paths, but that's kind of strange.
If you've played...
Oh, New Super Mario Bros. 2, that's another thing I'm excited about.
All those games, yeah. If you've played 80 or 100 hours of Persona 4, like you have, like people that have played that game have, if they haven't even played it twice, some of them have, you know, or more. I don't know.
The golden.
You're gonna love playing as those characters in an arena story. I mean, it's just like it's such fan service for that group.
Yeah.
And I can totally understand why you'd be all about that. I'm just like could care less. I don't know any of those characters. I don't.
Yeah.
Know
I mean, I'm not expecting. Again, like yeah. I said, these aren't AAA titles. It's very niche. But
yeah.
They're my niches, so.
Yeah. Well, you entered me into the 999 niche, so I'm really hyped on that. So
I'm just trying to take a look at other stuff because I know there's some other things that I was kind of looking forward to, but all in all, it's like, wow, there's like Borderlands 2. Eh. I'm looking forward to Borderlands 2. Resident Evil 6. Yeah, we forgot that one.
Mm, that one's worrisome.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ones where I'm cautiously optimistic on them, and I'm kind of looking forward to Epic Mickey 2.
Oh, I am too.
I'm looking forward to the 3DS version. But
why not the console?
3DS version is like one of the old Genesis Illusion games, and I love those.
Those are actually really fun.
Yeah, they are. But the console version is gonna be sweet too. I loved Epic Mickey. I was all about it.
I felt that game was busted in a lot of ways.
Yeah, there's no denying that. But I just really enjoyed it. It's just a fun game.
That was a game where I wanted to see how it played out, and then I only heard bad things. But it seems like this could be the stuff that fixes it. You know, yeah. And then it's got a multi-platform now, so I'll be able to play it on my PS3 as opposed to having to get a Wii. But it's just like, that's it for me, you know? 4 games for the rest of the year, really. 5, I guess.
Yeah. Well, is Little Big Planet Vita coming out?
Oh, yeah, that might be coming.
Yeah, it might be cool.
There's. I think Handheld is going to get a boost, hopefully, before the end of the year.
If Paper Mario Sticker Star comes out, I'm going to be freaking set.
And then I think Luigi, too, right?
Yeah. And also, you know, a couple Mario games. Wii U.
Yeah, there's...
Yeah, Boohoo rhymes with Wii U, I know. But anyway, all right. Let's pick up the excitement and get into some superhero action.
Okay.
Tim and Jordan are big superhero fans. Is that arguable?
Yeah.
I'm a little less so, but I love some Batman. So I guess let's talk about some Batman games first. We're going to talk about the Batman games that we've played. There's a huge long list of Batman games out there, you know, to go through, but I think only certain ones are, if not relevant,
that we've played.
Right. I mean, there's, you know, you can talk all you want, but if you don't have personal experience, how interesting is that? And then, you know, we're going to kick on into some other superhero games that we liked slash were abysmal. So I guess, why don't you start off, guys? First thing I have down here is Batman for the NES, sort of everybody's first Batman gaming experience. Discuss.
You want to go, Jordan?
Yeah, because I think you're more lukewarm on this. I really like the NES Batman game. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's kind of Ninja Gaiden, where he's just kind of running. I don't even remember, not a lot of levels. Maybe a lot. It's hard to remember. A lot of these games are going to be hard to remember because it's been like a decade or so since you might have played them. But it was just fun. You could get a Batarang and beat on dudes. It was very simple, but it worked really well, and it was difficult. It was Nintendo hard, I guess, is the thing to say.
It fit as a Nintendo game with it, but you know, it's just like, it still never really felt that much like your pure Batman, you know?
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
It was like, they could have named it anything else, and it still would have been the same game, basically. It didn't feel Batman-ish, other than, you know, you have a guy who's kind of purple.
Little side scroller. Didn't he shoot guns?
Like a Batarang gun.
In one of those games, he shoots guns, and it was totally whack.
I think in this one, he threw Batarangs as all the stuff, yeah, but it could have easily looked like a gun.
Right, okay.
And it was okay, but it's just like, eh.
I think of the era,
yeah,
it's one of the better ones, because a lot of the other older Batman games are just straight up.
When you say one of the better ones, do you mean superhero games or better NES games?
Better superhero Batman,
okay, gotcha,
type games. Like, it's middle rung in terms of NES games, but
I agree superhero with that sort of situation. Yeah, for the time, it was a very solid superhero game that you know.
Yeah, particularly looking at the rest of the Batman games.
okay, wait. Are there other NES ones to talk about?
Not that I can think of.
I think there's a sequel, like Return of the Joker, Revenge of the Joker.
Some nonsense, yeah.
I'll be honest. I know a lot of these just because of the nerd talking about them, the angry video game nerd. He did like a two-part Batman episode, but a lot of those were terrible too.
Okay, well, let's talk about Batman Forever for Genesis and SNES. That was a good one?
No.
No, that was that one that was based on Mortal Kombat.
Yes. It used Mortal Kombat assets and recolored them with Batman. I mean, they move exactly the same
That's
moves.
So weird.
But it's not one-on-one fighting.
What company
made
that?
I mean, well, I don't even know.
Was it Midway? Acclaim? Midway? I don't know.
I think it was probably Acclaim.
Yeah. Acclaim responsible for, I think, a lot of the ports of the MK games.
It's just weird to me. I wonder, like, I never really put it together before, but right now the team that does Mortal Kombat is getting all these DC licenses, and I wonder if they had a history with it. It's just like, oh, we did Mortal Kombat way back in the day. We'll try to make a Batman game.
I doubt it. I think that the whole Ed Boon, Tobias, whatever involvement in, more like Boon, involvement with DC is a new relationship, if not a rekindled one.
Yeah. The thing, what was it about that one that was bad? It wasn't just that it was, because it wasn't a fighting game. It had fighting game mechanics, but it was still a side-scrolling platformer, which the platforming was terrible, but you'd fight a dude and you'd knock him down and you'd wait for him to get back up and then you'd hit him again. And it's like fighting the easy guy on of a fighting game, and he doesn't get up fast. You're just waiting there to punch him again. And it's even worse when there's more people, because then they just gang up on you, and it's just a bad game. I mean, a lot of the early Batman games are pretty bad.
I mean, that's pretty much the consensus. A lot of early games in general are really bad, except for the really good ones. I guess that's a meaningless comment, but it's really true, though. Like, it was like with Nintendo, you know, and to some extent Super Nintendo and Genesis, it's like your game was either really good or really bad. And there were a lot of really bad ones.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that. I mean, I played a lot of RPGs for the Super Nintendo, and a lot of them were like,
that's a different category.
Right here in this situation, though, it's like some of them were really, really good.
Yeah.
And then some of them were horrible.
Right.
Like Seventh Saga. Oh my God, I hate that.
Or like Quest 64 or whatever.
Yeah. It's weird that way, but it's, I mean.
And then there's Earthbound, you know, which is
like,
fucking legendary.
Talking in general, just like, why do you think so many comic book games were so crappy during the SNES era? Because
they weren't comic book games at that point. They were just games, mediocre games, with a license slapped on them.
Yeah.
I think it was just hard to get down the characters in a way that felt like, okay, here are the characters and you know them and they're moving like they're supposed to. I mean, it's hard to do Batman anyway, just because he has a very unique set of skills. And
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Plus back then, games were a lot more done by small teams, and there wasn't like a guy who specialized in making sure that you matched up with the lore. Mm-hmm. There wasn't like a guy writing the script. There were programmers who were huge nerds, and they may know Batman or maybe not, but they were, you know, their specialty was programming graphics, programming mechanics, and not the lore, not making sure that the game like makes any freaking sense for that matter, you know?
I mean, it's
and that Oh, yeah. Well, that's just kind of a general thing where sometimes you get a it seems like developers, particularly back then, and even now, you get people who get the who get the license and don't really know how to do it properly. I remember even, I think it was just a few months ago, they released the Batman Gotham by Gaslight test footage. And like the most impressive thing.
Yeah, what is that?
I've never heard of that.
They were like developed before Arkham Asylum. They were developing a Gotham by Gaslight game, which is based on like, it was a story where Batman's 100 years ago.
Cool. Oh,
gotcha. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, and
why don't they
it
do
looked
that
pretty
prequel?
Interesting, but like the most impressive thing about it was that the cape was so fancy, and that's what most people were commenting on. It's like, oh, this is a game, but look at that cape. It yeah. seems like a lot of people back in the day got stuck on that sort of stuff, whereas not the necessarily play of it.
I kind of disagree with what you guys are saying, though, because you guys ever play X-Men Mutant Apocalypse?
Not really.
Because that was a game where they went to pretty extreme, I thought, to give you diversity for the characters. Because you could play as Beast in there, you could play as Wolverine, you could play as Psylocke, you could play as Gambit, or you could play as
Cyclops.
Yeah,
but they all just look like blue and black smudges.
No, they didn't.
Wait, is that the Genesis
ones? I'm just playing.
This was Super Nintendo one.
Okay, and, yeah, I think... Okay, those are good. Because I know the two Genesis X-Men games show that same level of detail.
Because there was enough diversity to where if you were Beast, you could jump up and put your feet on the ceiling and walk across it, because that's something Beast could do, you know. Or Wolverine could claw into the walls and climb up it. And then, you know, Gambit kind of just, you know, threw stuff. And, you know, same thing with Psylocke. She kind of sucked. She was kind of like Wolverine, so couldn't climb walls. But just like everyone kind of felt like they were the character with it. But I still kind of think that game sucks in some ways, because it's just, it was hard. And, like, it just wasn't satisfying to me.
Well, I mean, there's certainly developers who do that and who do put the dev, but at the same time, you get a lot of, like, and this isn't a bad game, it's a fun game, but, you know, you look at the X-Men arcade game and it's just a beat 'em up and it's got the skins on it.
That
there's nothing
game is
wrong
sick.
With that.
I love
X-Men arcade game.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with
I don't
that,
love
but it's
it
not,
now, but
it's
I
not
love
necessarily
then.
The most lore driven, focus on the characters type of game.
But Jordan, you came here to die.
Yeah, that game is really awesome.
X-Chickens.
That game is really awesome. Okay. Batman Vengeance, moving on to Xbox GameCube.
This is one of the first GameCube games I played. It's kind of based on the animated series.
Which is a plus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was kind of basic. And again, 10 years ago, I'm not remembering it too clearly, but actually more like 11. It wasn't a it was a good game, and it had a lot of stuff that Batman could do. He could glide. There were a lot of scenes where he would like glide down to catch stuff. There was... you know, using of gadgets. I mean, it was a bit basic. A lot of early GameCube game, Nintendo 64 games were, but it was still fun. And I, you know, up until Arkham release, that was my favorite Batman game because I thought it did the most to get the character right. And it had a lot of the characters looked right. You fought a wide array of Batman villains. I know the first villain you fought was Joker and Harley Quinn, and then you fought Poison Ivy, and it just, everything felt right for Batman. And so that was a fun game.
Well, that's cool. I mean, that's pretty rare. Also, we missed Batman Returns for SNES. We missed a lot, but there's another one we wanted to mention.
None of these, I think the entire Super Nintendo Genesis era was all...
Yeah, we can just kind of say that.
Yeah, okay.
As a general
all right. All right.
rule.
I got that on my sheet, just covering ground. PS2, Rise of Sinsu.
I want to talk a little bit about this game. I didn't
play
it.
Yeah, what's the deal?
I thought it was kind of a cool idea of what they were doing. That Sinsu was a character made up for... the
strictly
Batman game.
Video game.
Yeah, strictly for the video game. But they thought he'd kind of be like Harley Quinn, to where the game would be popular, then people would like the villain, and then they'd bring him into the comic
series.
Wait,
how is that like Harley Quinn?
She was originally created just for the animated series.
Yeah, and she was so popular that
really?
They made her into a character.
You didn't know that?
Yeah. I didn't freaking know that.
Yeah.
She was originally exclusive to the show, and then she became so popular because they wanted their original idea was Joker should have a female henchman, and she grew into a very popular character and ended up in the books.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that kind of bothers me about the Arkham Asylum and Arkham City games, I know we're going to get to that in a minute, her accent, I don't really like it.
That's
what you guys think? Though.
That's how she's always sounded.
I know, yeah. I just kind of hate it. Anyway.
Oh, well, I mean, you know.
I mean, isn't that the same voice actor
it's
from the
Joker.
90s TV show
The first
as well?
Game does. The second game has a new
different
voice actor.
My Joker! I don't know.
Puddin.
No, see, that's not that. Puddin and all that shit's not that bad. It's the what is it? Mr. J. I mean, it just, I don't know.
She says that too.
Constantly. You kill Mr. J. I don't know. It's just fucking pisses me off. Anyway.
So where were you?
We were talking about Sinsu, and I rudely interrupted with my Harley Quinn impression. Go ahead.
What do you guys think about that as just an idea? It's just like, you know, using the different franchises to test out new characters.
Of course that's an awesome idea.
I think it can work. I think it's, It's hard. I mean, I don't think that obviously wasn't their intention with the animated series. I think when you're trying too hard, it can backfire. Like
things that Marvel like that have to happen organically.
Like going to another example, Marvel Rise of the Imperfect Perfects introduced like 6 characters and all of them blue.
Yeah.
And people were I think people were just pissed that it was half non-Marvel characters
and it was a shitty game.
Yeah, that too.
Wasn't that a fighter?
Yeah, it was a really shitty one.
I think you got to I think creating a new character, if it works for the story and you have an interesting story to tell that will use that new character, do that. But I don't necessarily know that you should be developing for the idea of putting a new character in the book. So I just put the character in the book.
Well, I think sometimes it's the reason you wouldn't put the character in the book is because like you have so much continuity to deal with. And you have to, you know, you have to deal with all the continuity, then add in this new character and make him compete with everything else already. Well, I think when you put him into the new medium, it's kind of like you can create your own world a little bit. And you don't have to compete with everything that's already there. Yeah. And so I think that's a kind of an interesting way to do the testing ground for it. And like, and it's not just Batman that's doing it. Like with The Walking Dead, they said that they're going to bring Daryl from the TV show into being a character in the book.
Well, that's cool.
And stuff like that. And it's just like, it's something that I think has been doing a lot now. And
wait, that far ahead? I mean, the book's in like 103
right,
now.
But they said, I mean,
no,
they
just had its 100 this week.
You know.
Which apparently.
103 is written, probably.
Probably, yeah. Man, there was more news than we thought about because they announced that first person shooter.
It's more
shooter.
Geekdom instead of general
what first person
video
shooter?
Game stuff.
The Walking Dead one with Daryl and his brother who's a douche.
That sounds awesome. Where what's the deal?
I don't know if that sounds awesome to me.
Yeah, sounds awesome to me.
That was just something. But it's comic book related.
Who's making it?
I forget. I don't really care about that game. I like Daryl, but I don't want to spend the game with Merle. That guy's an ass.
All right. Anyway. As long as it's not Shane, cuckolding bastard. Anyway. All right.
Are they going to bring him back again?
You know what I really like? Lego Batman. Lego is awesome. Lego games are awesome. Yeah, I just like Lego games.
The Lego
awesome.
Games are good.
We talked about it before. Lego Batman is awesome. I love that game.
I mean, Lego Harry Potter is even better.
Like I said last week.
I'm just trying to bust Jordan's
chops. You got to play Lego Batman too because it is the best
by
far.
I do need to.
I say that even though I still like Star Wars as my favorite, Lego Batman 2 is the best one.
Well, I mean, it's kind of how it should be, isn't it?
How do you mean?
I mean, you know, it's the latest evolution.
Well, yeah, it should be, but
they should be improving every time. I mean, they should be.
Definitely not always that way.
I know, they arguably should be is all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Shoulda, coulda. What do we got here? Okay, and then that brings us to like Arkham City. Arkham Asylum, Arkham City.
Yeah,
I mean, what more is there to say on those at this point that hasn't been said either by us or by everybody else in the world?
Yeah,
they're great games. I mean, even though Rich and I may not be the biggest fans of Arkham City, it's still a well-made game, and it's still one of the best Batman.
There's no question. If I hadn't played Arkham Asylum first, and you know, seen Paris. You know, it might be a whole different story. I just the interiors in Arkham Asylum are so great, and I just think that the interiors in City are just far inferior. And I like the interior zones much better than I like the city.
Do you guys ever read Long Halloween or
Jeff Loeb? I mean to. I've like started Long Halloween and The Dark Knight Returns like 6 times each. And
one of the things I really loved about those comics is how they took all of the villains that were in the Batman universe, basically. And they made them all mesh together as just like the whole world's crazy and there's just these millions of freaks constantly doing crazy stuff. And I really thought Arkham Asylum did a really good job of that as well because it's just like they're all here. They've got their own agendas. They're kind of working together, but really they're just all crazy nutbags out to do their own thing. And they're just everywhere you look and Batman's constantly dealing with one and then the other with it. And I thought like Long Halloween and Dark Victory were the first ones to really get that really well. And I thought that was kind of cool that they did that on Arkham City.
I think Jeff
or Arkham Asylum, rather.
Loeb. He in general gets Batman. I think even when
that's
he
about
has,
it. Though.
He does. Yeah, Hulk.
He sucks
Hulk
everything else.
By Loeb is literally like I want to poke my eyes out so and that I can't read it anymore.
He ruined the Ultimate Marvel Universe and the TV
Ultimates
show Heroes.
Ultimates 3. Yeah. I don't know if you ruined Heroes. That was a writer's room, bro.
I don't know. He was the head writer for it when it started going down.
That's not what I heard. He's just one of the writers in there.
But I agree on the sense of he does a really good job of just running through the Batman villains and showing them off. I liked Hush a lot. I know some people have a problem with Hush. I didn't I still don't know exactly what the big deal is with that one. I know the I mean, it was obvious who the villain was in Hush.
Yeah.
But I still liked it.
And I liked it, too. I don't know why people would beef on that.
I loved it. I liked how the villains were coming through, and Batman was getting pushed to his breaking point a lot, which is, I think, some of the best Batman stories.
Yeah.
And then also Batman figures prominently. We're sort of diverging a little bit here in Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. You look at the cover of that game, and it's like Batman. Yeah,
Batman, Superman. That's such a horrible fighting game for anyone who plays.
Really?
I mean, it really is.
A lot of people said it was good.
Really? Those people don't know how to play fighting games.
I mean, reviews? How's that? How's that for people?
I think it's... Fighting games are weird in terms of review. This is kind of tangential to that. But just a lot of people who review fighting games don't play a lot of fighting games. And so they don't miss the small things that ruin the game. Such as in Mortal Kombat versus DC. Do you guys know what an infinite is? When I say that,
say, why don't you just tell
an
us?
Infinite
real quick.
Is a combo.
Oh, okay, yeah, an infinite. I thought you said
impotent.
Yeah, no, me too. I was like, I don't know, a move that, you know, can't get it up. I don't know.
It's a combo that just you can do over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And
it's
just like once you hit them with them, they can't get out with it. Now on day one, people found infinite combos in Mortal Kombat.
Infinite
DC.
Combos? You still sounds like you're saying it.
No, infinite combos.
Oh, okay, infinite. Okay, okay. Sorry.
They
man.
Found day one infinite combos.
Didn't you hear it again?
That anyway. Were incredibly easy to do.
Right.
Such as, and one of them was Superman had a ground smash, and you had a thing where if you could time it direct, like perfectly, it would end quicker. And if you could do that over and over again, you could do it an infinite number of times. And it was literally, if you hit him with it, you could just do it over
and
over
broken.
And over again.
I mean, it's obviously broken. It needs to be bug fixed.
But it's just that sort of stuff. The game's full of that sort of stuff.
Right. Well, it's obviously not a good competitive fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact. But as a story-based fighter, you know, is it not
story
good?
Story was lame, too.
Yeah. I don't mean story. You know what I mean. Interesting characters, fun to pull off fatalities or the watered-down PG-13 fatalities that game had.
Well, no, I agree that, you know, when you're saying that reviewers are in a different position, because it's kind of like, I think with fighting games, it's different. It's sort of like how with a lot of any game, you have bug testers, but you know it's never going to be the same as 1,000 people suddenly putting it in their system and they're going to find stuff right away. With a fighting game, there are those things, but if you have just a handful of people reviewing it, especially if they're not necessarily fighting game fanatics, they aren't going to find them right away. And I think at the same time, it's a more what's the word? It's a more hardcore community when you look at like you know dead set fighting game fans. That if they just reviewed it to that, it might be harder to get anyone to try those games. Like with, I know which one is it? Street Fighter Cross Tekken?
Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Came out? Yeah. Okay. Because I know there's the opposite one too. But, you know, that got really high reviews, but I know you've been you've said that because of the gems and whatnot.
The gems pissed off a lot of people with it.
Yeah.
But.
And I'm not saying it's not legitimate because if you're a fighting game fan, that stuff matters, but it can be hard to be a reviewer and straddle that line.
Well, anyway, so. Keeping that in the same vein, talking fighting games, what do you guys think about Injustice? Have you guys been following that?
Not
really. That's the new MK?
Yes.
It's not Mortal Kombat at all.
It is completely DC Universe fighting game.
Oh.
With a dark angle to it.
Oh.
So far they have...
I have not been following that.
The people you'd expect, they have Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Solomon. Well, okay, maybe you wouldn't expect Solomon Grundy.
Solomon Grundy is awesome.
He is
one of
awesome.
My favorite DC characters.
He is. I love Solomon
Born
Grundy.
On a Tuesday, Solomon Grundy. Just kidding.
I generally have a love for people who speak in the third person. I don't know what it is.
It's cool as hell. That's what it is. I don't know.
You know, it looks fun. I like that it's not, they don't have to, I don't like the costumes in it necessarily. Mm-hmm. Actually, I do like how Cyborg and Nightwing look. They just announced those two.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's cool.
Yeah. But it looks interesting. I like that it has the whole idea of multi-tiered levels and stuff. I like that it just looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, aside from the costuming, the graphics look great. It's hard to tell with a fighting game until you play it.
What do you think about them having to create an alternate dark world to be able to make it the fighting game it is, though? Because in this situation, they're basically making it a world where all the heroes have become really brutal. And so they wanted to make it, you know, DC related, but not main DC universe because it wouldn't fit.
I mean, I think that's okay. They've had that story in the comics before with Earth 2 and stuff. So, I mean... I think if that's their excuse for letting it get a little dark or a little more brutal, I don't really mind that.
Mm. Rich, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it's odd because Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, just to be able to have the DC license, they had to water it down. watered down Mortal Kombat. So to hear, now this is me looking at this blindly because I really didn't even hear about this game, which is really rare for me. But and to hear that they're making it like, you know, coming up with this artificial way to make it like darker than it should be, or than the source material, like that's crazy. It's just like that seems so backwards or counter to what they had to do for MK or for DC Universe. Versus MK. So I don't know. I mean, how do I feel about it? I'd have to see more. I guess it's okay. I just care so little. I wish I could get interested, but I just care so little about fighting games. I've never been good at them. The only one I ever really enjoyed was Mortal Kombat 1 when I learned the fatalities and felt really badass. But ever since then, they've been too complicated. Not too complicated, but like if you want to play them and play them right, you got to invest time.
Yeah.
It's a lot like an MMO, and the reason I don't play those is just like, that's like what you got to be playing pretty much every time you turn on your video game system, and it's got to be pretty much every other day if you want to get good or if you want to be on some kind of competitive level, and I don't know. I just like playing a wider variety.
Rich, you should try picking up the new Mortal Kombat sometime. Because
yeah, dude, people say it's amazing. I was over at Are You a Gamer recently, and somebody was playing it, and it looked really fun.
It's fun, and then there's a lot of just single-player stuff that you can do. Like, there's a challenge tower of, like, 300 levels. Wow. There's a pretty expansive story mode.
See, that
where
sounds
it's
like me.
Now, there's some BS stuff in the story mode if you're not a fighting game fan. Like, anytime it's a two-on-one fight, you're...
boned.
Well, yeah, if you're not a fighter, like if you aren't really good at it, just it's going to be harder.
I don't know. I mean, I never thought they were that bad, but I play more fighting games than you guys.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think Rich going into that might have a little more.
Perhaps.
I had a bit of trouble with
it. I like Mortal Kombat. I mean, it's like if any fighter, it's the one I've ever been into. I think I'd like it. I think you're right.
But yeah, Injustice looks cool. And I don't know. I keep wanting a fighting game to just have everyone wearing kryptonite fisticuffs whenever they fight Superman, just so it makes more sense. But
yeah.
I don't know.
God, I hate Superman. I really, really.
Are you
going to
bring
it.
Up Super Dickory? It's on the tip of your tongue, isn't it?
You already brought it up, so I don't need to.
But coming out of that, there is, of course, already a good fighting game based on superheroes, which is the Marvel vs. Capcom series.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the news hits keep on coming because I keep remembering things.
Yep.
And I feel terrible.
What, Marvel vs. Capcom Origins?
Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom
What?
I don't know. I'm not excited about it necessarily,
it's
but it feels
not
like
big anything besides
what is it,
game
Marvel
fans.
Vs. Capcom 4, but it's like a prequel?
No, it's Marvel vs. Capcom 1, and then also...
Marvel Super Heroes?
Marvel Super Heroes, yeah.
It's like two fighting games combined.
Remake.
Yeah, it's like a downloadable package.
Oh, God. It's hardly even news.
Yeah.
It's a little something.
Yeah. I mean, it's technically news. It's a re-release, but...
Well, arguably Yakuza 1 and 2 aren't.
Sure. I just thought when you were like, oh my God, news story, I was like ready for something juicy, you know?
Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 4 was announced with 100 playable characters.
Well, that's, you know, inevitable.
And it's even crazier.
I mean, get a crystal ball out and start rubbing and that game will like appear.
But no, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and 3 are, again, I'm not the biggest fighting game fan, but the fighting games I do like, I really like, and that's one of them. That and Blaze Blue, I absolutely love, and so... That one's always just been something that's really fun to play. In fact, I was hanging around with a friend and we had nothing else to do. I was like, let's play Marvel vs. Capcom 2 because I've got it. And so we did. And we played like 15 rounds.
What I love about that game, other than just the multitude of things because it's a great fighting game, is it's so flashy. I love how flashy it is. It's just like, even if no clue what you're doing, it's like, oh my God, did you see what I just did? Sure, everybody's got the move just like that, but it's so cool. I called like 1,000 demons down to kill you.
That is really cool. That's over the top game. Let's move on and talk about the Spider-Man games a little bit. Because I know you're a big fan, Jordan. I like some of them. I really enjoyed Shattered Dimensions. We played that one together some.
Yeah.
And then you went on to like Edge of Time even more.
Yeah.
And then also going back, Web of Shadows, you're a fan of. And then Spider-Man 2 even. I mean, give me the gamut.
Beloved. In general.
Like, it finally web swinging has gotten right, you know?
Yeah.
Or was that
Spider-Man
1?
It was the first open world one. Spider-Man 1 was an open world. It was mission-based.
Okay.
I think that's, kind of tangential. I think that's an interesting thing when we see a game with a superhero on it, is even if it was, you know, the same game, but it was not superhero-based. Like, you took Spider-Man 2 and you turned it into a generic guy, sort of like an Infamous or something like that, but you keep very comic book-esque mechanics with it, people don't like it as much.
I think
that's weird.
I think it's because there's certain expectations that build up with heroes like that. Because Spider-Man had games for a lot of years, and some of them were fun. I actually like Maximum Carnage. It's just a beat 'em up, but it's fun. But you don't really feel like Spider-Man in it. And I think, you know, that's why some of these games get so much more hype. That's why Spider-Man 2 is so beloved, and why Batman Arkham Asylum is so beloved. That's why if there's ever a Superman game, you know, screw it. That's why Lego Batman 2 is so beloved. Because
Superman's a dick.
Because Superman is Superman in
Wait,
that.
Is Batman Lego Batman 2 beloved?
I don't know. I'm just saying it's it the first game to get Superman's in dick. It. It's probably the best portrayal of Superman. I'm just saying that for like future reference. It's the first game. Because, you know, they'll eventually do like a realistic Superman game. And if they'll ever finally get it right, it's the first Superman
game. Wait a
minute,
what about Superman 64? That game was fucking baller.
Dude, that game was so sick. I don't know why it gets the bad rap,
yeah,
dude.
I know. I mean, the fact that every on the first mission board, was fun. You fly through the rings and then,
pick up cars.
You know what's the best about that ring flying part, too? It's just like the controls are so tight.
Yeah, it's just like if you want to go straight, you just only have to press like 6 buttons.
It's so sweet. I love it. Well, I mean, they really like, you know, simplified the formula. You know what I mean? That game was really streamlined and clean. Which probably, you know what I mean?
We should probably do a show sometime just about Superman 64 and how.
Dude,
awesome
that game
it is
so sick. What's up with all the hate?
I don't know.
I love the graphics too. They're not abysmal or anything.
It's polished. And
they're tight. They don't look like polygons, like, you know, throwing up on each other or anything.
Non very straightforward sarcasm right now. What I do love about that game is that's how much I hate Superman. So it gets my feelings of Superman in game form.
I don't know, man. I don't know. That game is really bad.
But yeah, I think going back, I think, you know, when a character finally feels like that character in a way that no other game has captured, it's going to be something special.
And it really gets you excited. It's just like, thank God.
And let alone that it's rare. You don't see it a lot. I mean, that's why Wolverine Origins is such a good game.
Oh, I love that game.
Because it's just
don't
Wolverine
even get me going.
Slicing through dudes.
Dude, that game. Now, talk about, I was talking trash earlier about Ultimate Alliance 2, like not feeling visceral. That game is so visceral. When you were shredding dudes, it feels so shreddy. And when you're like punching, I mean, you know what I mean? Sorry for the busted adjective. But like, I mean, you just tear into dudes. You jump like Wolverine. You feel like a freaking, you know, creature in the jungle, where even when you're in these like office buildings, it's awesome. That game is just so fun and it continues to be fun. And it's based on such a bad movie, but it's such a good game.
I mean,
isn't that fucking weird?
So, you know, I mean, if you talk about comic movies, those are the ones you hear. You hear, or comic games. You hear Arkham Asylum, Spider-Man 2, Wolverine Origins.
X-Men
because those
Destiny.
Games get the characters.
I know. X-Men Destiny was another game. It was just really awesome. Just kidding. It's terrible. What did you do, Silicon Knights? Dennis Dyack should be crying in his soup.
And that's another reason. Even after we get those really good games, people still don't get it.
What's up with... Okay, real quick. What's up with Dennis Dyack and Silicon Knights? Why can't they make a good game anymore? Why can't they make a fucking good game? Like, Eternal Darkness is one of the best games I've ever freaking played. It's so amazing. And then, like, the Metal Gear Twin Snakes, everyone says sucks. Eh, whatever. And then, like, they come out with Too Human, which is, like, the biggest letdown of the console generation. And then, I mean, so bad that it spawned, you know, a battle with Epic over Unreal. And then X-Men Destiny is even worse. It's not even worse. It's horrendous. Why is that game so bad?
It's so bad. I think it's really hard to make a good X-Men game. And the reason I'm going to say this is because you're team focused. You're not focused on a single character.
Alliance is that game. One.
Well, no, so? X-Men Legends.
X-Men Legends.
That's what I mean.
I like X-Men Legends, too.
Yeah, X-Men Legends 1 and 2 are amazing. And they're the precursors to it. Yeah, I'm so glad you guys remembered that. Because I loved those games.
But even in those things, like, I don't know. It didn't... They were fun beat-em-ups and sort of, you know, RPGs sort of things.
They did it, man. They specialized on all the powers. You had all the mutant powers. You could switch, and it was all about diversity and the different team combos.
There were team combos.
No, I don't mean team combos like that. I mean like, you pick 4 different players, and then for this part, you may bring 2 different people in, you know? I mean, like that. Like, what combination of characters you choose.
Yeah.
I don't mean the bastardized team combos of Ultimate Alliance 2.
I guess my main beef with X-Men Legends 1, my main beef with it is their characters were so unbalanced. Some characters were so clearly better than everyone else. Jean Grey was clearly the best character in the game by far, and there was like no competition. And X-Men Legends 2, there are so many glitches in that game. I don't know if you guys played it as much as I did, but there are so many glitches. Like, Bishop has one ability, and what it says it does is it says it increases your attack power by like 5%, but what it actually does increases your attack speed by 5%. It actually increases your attack power by about 10,000%. How do you miss that? Seriously?
Wait, so he's like 100 times more powerful when he uses it?
And it's like a level 5 ability or something like that. I don't remember. It's like his first buff, team buff. And he uses abilities, and it's like, it's supposed to be,
yeah,
it's supposed to give you like, I don't remember exactly.
I think it's probably like, they probably put it in there as like a tongue-in-cheek, like,
I don't know.
We know everyone hates Bishop, so we're going to make him really pimp.
Dude, people don't hate Bishop.
Everyone hates Bishop. And when I was playing Bishop? That game, people were like, who the hell's Bishop?
Bishop's
that's
not
what I heard people say.
Terrible.
Bishop sucks.
He was a part of a really
drawn
out.
Who am I talking
out
to? I don't know, dudes who hate Bishop.
He was part of an overly drawn out storyline, but.
What are you talking about?
All right.
Me, I'm just talking about.
Bishop
like,
was kind of below
I like
the
Messiah
Bishop. Complex.
He's okay. I was just talking about like the whole 2-year chase for Hope that like he and Cable were.
Yeah, until that.
Yeah.
People love Bishop.
Okay.
But anyway.
So, we talk Marvel's Capcom. Okay, how about a little bit of these more peripheral games that were like really movie tie-in like in this generation? For example, Green Lantern, Captain America, and one I actually enjoyed but is in that category, X-Men the movie. Remember that? X-Men the official video game, which was based upon The Last Stand.
I can't really comment on that one because I never played it.
Okay, but you did play Green Lantern. You did play Captain America. You probably played some Hulk games. These are all,
I actually haven't played any Hulk games.
You didn't play Ultimate
I've
Destruction?
I've continued to want to.
I heard Ultimate Destruction was good. I heard that
heard
one
too.
Made you feel like you were Hulk.
Yeah, that was
that's
that,
what I've
that
heard
one
too.
Wasn't based on a movie. That one was just like a Hulk game.
That's true. I'm talking more
like
Green Lantern, Captain America, both Iron Man games.
The tie-ins.
Fantastic Four, all of that shit. Yeah.
Well,
they're hit or miss, right?
They're very hit or miss, and even when they hit, they don't hit that hard. It's
yeah.
like, you know, someone
yeah.
shot you with an air rifle. I don't know.
It's a good explanation.
Well, you said that so hesitantly.
Or maybe
like,
you're shooting an air rifle more like, and it's like sort of satisfying.
I mean, Captain America, I think, is actually really fun. It's
that's Sega, though. That's probably why.
Well, no, because Sega made Iron Man 2 as well. That one's supposed to be awful.
Did they make it or did they just produce it?
I think they developed it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. That or one of their in houses. I don't know. But Captain America was really fun. It was basic. It was you're going to fight a room full of dudes and then do some Assassin's Creed style platforming, which I thought was actually a really fun surprise.
See, I never played it. So I just write all those games right off. You know, they just go in through the outdoor, you know?
I'll be entirely honest. The main reason I rented it was to even out my gamer score because it had been. Like there was a 2 at the end of it for years.
Could you
years.
Have said anything more offensive about that game? I bought it to even out my gamer score.
I'm sorry.
Damn.
I didn't even buy it. I red boxed it.
Oh my God, even worse.
And
you spent
I got,
$2 to even out his gamer score.
So I could have gotten the achievement. There was an achievement I skipped just so it wouldn't re-uneven my gamer score. But no, it was surprisingly fun. I had a lot of fun with it. It had some good boss fights. It had, I mean, everything was decent. There was nothing like Arkham Asylum.
I'm going to do a little psychology, a little free psychology session for you. Check this out. What if it's cool to have an uneven gamer score?
Ugh.
Because it's more memorable. Because everybody sees it and they're like, ooh, 74,263. I'm going to remember that dude's gamer score.
Ugh.
What do you think? What do you think, Jordan? What do you think, man?
No.
My 30-second session failed.
So that one. No, but Captain America's a good game. Green Lantern was lame, but at least it had co-op.
How could you imagine a Green Lantern game done right? I don't think it's a game that could work.
No, because the whole point of Green Lantern is that he can make anything.
Yeah.
And you can never feel like you can make anything in a game.
I think it, you know, it didn't do a terrible job of giving you a huge variety of things. It's just so many of them felt samey.
Yeah.
Which,
you know what I think they'd
it's
have
like
to
this,
do for
you,
Green Lantern?
This mallet or this big fist. What's the difference?
You guys ever play that downloadable game Elements?
True.
You're combining different things and it gives you like a new element.
I've heard
two.
Of it though, yeah.
Well, anyway, I would almost imagine that as like a gameplay mechanic in a Green Lantern game where you could have like different abilities as you expanded and then you could combine the different abilities into things and make entirely new weapons as you would imagine for Green Lantern. And things that could be like, okay, I want something that gives large space and gives this thing and this thing and this thing. So then it's like you have to imagine it and then you could make it and get the expansive stuff with it. But
I mean, that could be cool. I think it's just difficult when you have a character that has endless possibilities and it's hard to get them down right. But I don't know.
A Green Lantern game will ever work, and obviously the Green Lantern movie didn't work.
Yeah, I was about
either.
To say all those statements are accurate. You can finish.
I have a new direction to go, but finish up, man.
Oh, I was just gonna say I was going to go back to Spider-Man really quick.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about those, the Beanoxes.
I've actually played pretty much all of this generation Spider-Man games, except Spider-Man 3.
For those of you who are just tuning in, Jordan's favorite really favorite thing in life is Spider-Man, I think. I
mean, he is my favorite superhero.
Yeah.
He's high up there. but no,
I think it's like mom, girlfriend, Spider-Man, right? Or maybe Spider-Man, mom, girlfriend. I don't know.
But yeah, I played Spider-Man 3 on PS2, and it's not that good a game. But I've played, I game-flied Spider-Man Friend or Foe, which is the kitty game.
Is that Spider-Man Friend or Foe? I thought it was just Friend.
No, it's Spider-Man Friend or Foe.
Yeah, you're right. It's playable.
Oh, well.
It's a POS.
It is, and I did get 1,000 gamer score in it, though it took, I had to fight final boss about 50 times.
About
to
as
get
hard as Avatar.
Points.
Go ahead.
Oh, no.
It was much harder. Okay.
It took commitment because you have to buy all the upgrades and by the end, like once you beat the game the first time, you only have about 50% of them. So I just had to grind the final boss over and over again.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I was
because
bored.
He is a gamer score person.
I don't know.
Get it.
It's a different breed of person than we are, Tim.
I like.
They're literally a different breed.
I can kind of get into the groove of repetitive things. It's not like I just sat there and focused on it. I like listened to a podcast and had it on mute.
There's a mutation
horrible.
That occurs in the womb, and it makes people achievement whores or not. And I just that mutation didn't happen with me, man.
You have Avatar on your gamer score too.
Yeah, no, Avatar is straight. I wanted to play it, man. I was just like, ooh, 1,000 free gamer points, I'll take them. But I mean, what I'm talking about is like modifying the way you approach and play games based around gamer score.
I don't really do that.
Okay, well, I used to.
I do it on occasion. Like if it's a game I know I can get 1,000 in, I'll do that. But like for the most part, I'll just play, and if I miss something, whatever.
C'est la freaking vie, like me.
Yeah, which is kind of how I was with the Amazing Spider-Man game. That came out this month. And like I said, that was just eh.
I'm so surprised. How is their third game way inferior to their second, which is inferior? I don't know.
Well, some would say it's better than their second. But I like Edge of Time. And
yeah. It all takes place in one building.
Yes, it takes place in one building.
Really
you know,
diverse building.
Huh?
Really diverse building,
yeah,
right?
Like
yes,
every
it's a
building.
Very diverse building.
Like every building in every game.
And that's why it's so depressing. Because most of The Amazing Spider-Man takes place in one building, and it's all the same environment. How do you F that up from your own game design?
I don't know what they were thinking.
So much for the worse in that game. I liked Edge of Time. Was it free spinning?
I can't believe you like it better than Shattered Dimension. I can't believe that. That game had so much variety.
No, Shattered Dimensions is good. I just felt like Edge of Time was more focused. I liked the narrative in it. And I don't know. I just thought it was polished more in terms of gameplay and stuff.
Which is what you would expect.
Yeah. So I liked that. And I'm still interested to see what Beenox's next game is because I hope it's based on the Edge of Time stuff as opposed to. Because Amazing Spider-Man's apparently been in development for 2 years.
What? How is. Oh, really?
That's. Yeah.
Maybe. Well, no, how is the. I know you've heard that. It's probably true. But how is the. I forget what I was going to say. Go ahead.
But yeah. So Spider-Man has had a lot of good games, I think. And he's. Oh, and Web of Shadows is another one that gets a lot of hate. Its story is terrible. And the voice acting is abysmal, but it's a fun game.
Have you played Fantastic Four, any of those?
I have not played those.
No. All right. Well, I wanted to go in a little different direction, if you guys don't mind.
Sure.
To sort of bring this all full circle. And that is superhero games that aren't based on previously established superheroes. So, for example, Infamous, Prototype.
Gravity Rush.
Singularity, Gravity Rush. And then one that I really wanted to mention, Comic Jumper. Love that game. Have you guys played Comic Jumper? This game is a diamond in the rough. The reviewers don't seem to think so. They think it's like far inferior to Explosion Man. I'm sure you probably agree.
Yeah.
But I disagree. I love Comic Jumper. I find that game so fun and so funny. You're this like smiley face dude and you have like this, is it around your neck? Oh no, it's in your stomach, right?
Chest. The star guy?
Yeah. And he's like a star on your chest, but he talks and talks shit. And he's so funny. And it's like every like badass like superhero heroic thing you do, like he's got some trash to talk about it.
He loves Brad, though.
Yeah, he loves Brad. I know, and that's so cool. And then Brad has a theme song. It's like, it's Brad. He's so awesome. I mean, it's just a hilarious game. And it really, I wish it was bigger and longer and more expansive. It only really has like three gameplay, like three comic book styles. But if they had like extended that metaphor, you know. And it was like, you know, six or seven different kinds of eras and styles of comics. That game would have been an awesome, like, box title. I don't know.
I mean, no, they're
I love
a good
that
developer.
Game.
I like, I forget their name. What is their name?
They're the dudes.
Explosion Man team. They also did Miss Explosion Man.
I can't think of it, man.
Anyway, they have a name, and I'm going to remember it after
this.
It's
the Gunslinger, too. Or Gunstringer, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It is a fun game. But I think if we're talking about, like, superhero-based around the idea, I don't know. I honestly think Gravity Rush is the best of that genre I've played because I was never that big a fan of Infamous. And there may be some we're forgetting because I know it goes back a ways because Comic Zone is probably one of the first ones to do that.
Yeah. When you were talking about that comic jumper, I thought you were talking about Comic
Twisted
Zone for
Pixel,
a second.
Yo.
Twisted Pixel, yeah.
That's it, because they do the little tilt whenever their logo comes up. But I don't know. I think Gravity Rush did it really well, where it had a comic book feel and it had a comic book style, and it told an origin story. And, you know, she was, by the end of the game, she's fully a superhero. And I liked that.
How
sort of
generally are you guys using this term, comic book game?
Just not.
Oh, no, we're not talking comic book game. Now we're talking superhero game.
Superheroes. Well, how generally are you using this term?
I just had a segue. I mean, I just segued. Games that, and here's how generally, in my opinion, games that intentionally are creating like a new superhero, either origin story or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Infamous is obviously like, we're going to make a superhero, not we're going to make a new character. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean.
And not just that, like, they have powers, but that there's some sort
there's
of...
There's an origin. There's
some
sort
of sense of heroicism, too. I don't know.
Yeah. And there's some sort of, like, how they got their powers. Or I don't know. Origin stories are very important with superheroes. They always have been part and parcel.
I just think the question's kind of vague, because I would think by that standard, you could say Zelda was that.
Sure, but no, that's not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the ones that, okay, let me be more specific. The games that people colloquially discuss as superhero games, but aren't attached to a comic franchise. How's that? You know what I mean by like okay, Infamous, everyone's like, you're a superhero.
Yeah.
Prototype, you're a superhero. Zelda, you're Zelda. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's, well, I mean, I mean
you could say anyone's a superhero in
that's
any
the
game.
Thing is, I think it's actually a thing that's come up recently.
I'm talking about powers. I'm talking about you have powers. I think that that's just like overcomplicating the wheel, man. Honestly.
What I'm just saying is, I think what you're saying there, Rich, is a recent trend in how people discuss games, because superheroes have become so dominant within Americans' entertainment that we refer everything back to superheroes now, when before, if the same thing had been released, we wouldn't do it.
Maybe so.
I think
maybe
that's
so.
The case with it.
Maybe
so.
I think they're making a concerted effort, though.
Yeah, I think there's definitely
cases another,
with
and here's
that.
Another, and here's another case in point. Maybe less so Prototype, but more so Infamous. Infamous uses comic book style in its cutscenes. Same thing with Gravity Rush. Same thing with Comic Jumper. So in that way, those games are comic book based. Inarguably. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So maybe Prototype less so.
Yeah. Okay. Prototype, I mean, he's just a douche.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not there aren't
oh,
douchey
it's Mercer.
Superheroes.
What a pin. You know, why does my brain have to take up a section with Alex Mercer's stupid name? He's such like a, you know what I mean? Like why I got to know that the guy from Prototype's name is Alec Mercer? What a useless piece of data.
He's a guy.
He's just some dude, and he's not that interesting. He's not a very well-written character, but nonetheless, I know his stupid name. Anyway.
But I think there are games that strive for superhero more than others, and I think, I mean, they've done it before. There's characters like, I think you vaguely mentioned Booger Man before. That's clearly something from the Genesis era that was emulating the style.
I did? No.
It came up somewhere.
Okay.
I don't think anyone mentioned Booger Man.
I'm pretty sure you did when you were listing things.
No freaking way.
I'm going to re-listen to this episode.
No freaking way, man. You know why? Because like, I haven't thought about the Booger Man in like 10 years.
Yeah, that's the first time I heard it said today, at least.
I
think
I don't
about
know.
Booger Man every day.
I could have sworn it got hurt. I don't know. Okay, whatever.
Though. What is it? Booger Man, like the search for, I don't know.
I don't even know. Anyway, but I think Rich's might have been a little general, but I think I get the general idea he was going for.
Well, yeah. I mean, really, let's be more specific and say it has to have elements that are distinctly comic book. And I think that Infamous definitely, I mean, obviously, like I just said, Infamous Comic Jumper and Gravity Rush all have comic book styled cutscenes, period. You know, so I mean, I see your point totally, Tim. I mean, you could say really, you know, 99% of the characters in these video games are super heroic.
Because most video games follow the hero's journey a lot of the times. In terms of the storylines.
No doubt. No doubt. I'm talking about the ones that are, you know, overtly trying to ape comic or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. I don't know. It's a little hard. It's like porn. You know,
porn? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, when you see it. Right. Right. But with Gravity Rush, interesting, like you don't quite know at first. But then again, the cutscenes are very comic booky. But then you could say Max Payne. No, because they're kind of a little comic booky, but they're more noir. I don't know. I hear what you're saying.
That's why I'm saying it's kind of vague situation with it.
Yeah,
I think it's
let's talk about it this way then. What the developers say their intentions are, we could go there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With the developer of Infamous said, we're making a superhero origin story. Same thing with Comic Jumper, you know, creating a new superhero is supposed to be funny. And Gravity Rush, I know we've read that it's supposed to be a superhero origin story somewhere.
Yeah.
Developers
yeah.
say that. So we could go that far if we wanted to, yeah. to him. To be really precise is like developer intention.
That's fine. I just think it's interesting to sound over there because I think a lot of the times they could have made the same game in the past and they wouldn't have mentioned it as being related to comic books.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, there's no doubt. There's, you raise a valid point. Mm-hmm.
So. I just think it's interesting to see like how much we've changed and how we perceive things with it because pretty yeah. much every big action blockbuster that's come out for the past, what, 5-6 years now has been a comic book related
Yeah, we
one.
Were just in preparation for this podcast, we were looking at, you know, Wikipedia lists and making sure we had, you know, at least touched on the ones that we were interested in talking about or had played or were significant to us. And like under superhero video games, like the Transformers games are there. And I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, the Transformers were a comic book about the same time that they were the TV shows and originally came out.
Well, then you could say they're comic based, but I don't know about superheroes.
It's a fine line. It's a hard to distinguish
type
of thing.
But so is certain superhero characters. I don't know. I mean, you could go like my friend Elliot does, and he's just like freaking at the point in his life where he's done with labels, like especially musically. Like I always sort of like fall back on them to some extent. I mean, it's just who I am. I enjoy calling emo and dubstep. But, you know, to him, it's certain, you know, at a certain point, electronic music is electronic music and there's no need to distill it down any further. But then again, like when you want to have a scholarly discussion, then how do you do it? I mean, it's just these are shortcuts. I don't know. It's just an interesting question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, whether there's more value or lack of value in generalizations and labels, you know?
Yeah.
It's almost like a meta societal discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more interested in that aspect sort of something. Because, like, consider the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which were a comic book before they were a television series, before they were popular. And now when people talk about the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles television show, they call it a comic book show, even though they never did that for, you know, while it was out.
I saw that as, like, a kiddie cartoon show.
Well, it is a kiddie cartoon show, but they call it, like,
still
a comic
awesome.
Book show. What else? Yeah.
What about Bronies? My Little Ponies and shit. Bronies.
I don't think they're a comic book.
I don't think so. No, well, they are going to be. I saw that today.
Really? See,
they announced an IDW
Let me guess,
series.
IDW. Oh, my God. I was going to say, let me guess IDW, and you said it before you could even get it out of my mouth. It's just, like, so obvious it's going to be them. It's like, G.I. Joe, check. Transformers, check. My Little Pony, Bronies. What's up? Freaking Bronies, dude. If you're a Brony, it's cool. I'm sorry. I'm just judgmental.
It's totally cool, but I am judging you.
So like, it's
judgmental.
Cool that I don't like you.
I'm judgmental
I'm cool
in general. I'm judgmental in general. It's not personal.
I know.
Anyway, but I guess that's the point. All right, so any superhero games or not really superhero games but that we wanted to discuss or anything that we haven't covered yet, or are we going to move on to everybody's favorite little ending subject?
Well, I think one
little thing I wanted to mention
before.
Because this kind of got said otherwise and then we kind of got tangential and went on.
Yeah, man.
I don't think they'll ever be able to make an X-Men game of the quality of Arkham Asylum or Spider-Man 2 or anything like that one.
Hey, man, put Rocksteady on the task, yo.
Well, no, I'm going to say this is why, because like I was saying before, I don't think they could do with Avengers either because it's focused on a team and you can't get the feel of one character with an entire team.
Either of you guys play Justice League Heroes?
No.
It was like the X-Men Legends for the...
I heard it was awful, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's playable.
Okay, I thought you were about to like make some kind of grand statement.
Oh, God, no.
Heroes.
Grandiloquence and Justice League Heroes do not belong in the same sentence. Go ahead, Tim, sorry.
But anyway, it's just like, I wonder if it's ever possible, because you talk about like, oh, they made a great Wolverine game where it's just about slashing the crap out of things and, you know, jumping into things and beating the crap out of them. It's like, oh, that's Wolverine. You know, you got stealth and it's got Batman. But could you do it to where you could be the Wolverine and then feel like you're Cyclops you know, flying and
casting
lightning bolts like Storm?
Well, you know,
you get them all.
You know where the problem comes in? The problem comes in with diversity of mechanic.
Yeah.
And you can't really – what makes the Arkham Asylum and Arkham City games so effective is every one of Batman's moves is so perfectly executed and the gameplay and the level design and the enemy choices and the tone and the music and everything is tuned perfectly to his skill set, whereas – if you're going to have a X-Men game, there's such a diversity of characters, even if you just chose three.
Yeah.
You know, which would inherently suck. But let's say you chose three. You'd still be breaking up your core gameplay in three parts, and you'd still be watering it down to that extent. Very, very few games pull off extremely diverse mechanics well.
And I mean, even going beyond that, it's like you were listing all those things, it's something even movies have trouble with, because you look at the Avengers, and I really like that movie, but my biggest problem with that is the soundtrack doesn't really capture any of the characters well. There's one moment where, you know, Tony comes flying in with Iron Maiden, something heavy metal playing, I forget exactly what. But other than that, the music is always very generic, and I feel like that's the problem you're going to run into. That's why when you look at games like Ultimate Alliance or X-Men Legends or Justice League Heroes, there's a generic feel to the characters, even though they have unique things. It's not that unique.
Yeah, I agree with that, same sort of thing. And it's just like, that's why I always like, they're fun brawlers in a lot of ways, but the storyline, I think, never is going to be that impressive with it, because it's never going to capture, you know, the whole Marvel universe, because they've got so many characters that it'd be impossible to do. It's got to be generic and just general. And I kind of find that disappointing with them. But I think that's one of the reasons to where that recent X-Men game blew so much is because, you know, they were trying to do that and they just failed.
Yeah.
How about the fact that you don't play as any X-Men?
Well, that too. But that's the thing, is people love choice now and building your own character customization.
I guess. I think people think that was the problem, gamers love choice.
There wasn't really any customization to it.
I mean, no, it was the worst.
I never played the game. You had three characters, but there was no like...
Yeah, and all three of them had the same choices. It sucks. Talking about X-Men Destiny is like, it's like talking about, I don't even know what. It's like talking about the Smurfs. You know what I mean? Like, what's the fucking point?
It's one of those things where it's just like, saying you were making an X-Men game and you wanted to, you know, have a multi-branching path or something like that, and, you know, fully customizable characters or something like that. Would you want to do that with an existing character, or would you rather have, you know, a character that you can then pretend to be?
I mean, I don't know.
Because I think in that situation, you need to make a new character to be them. Because I think in the original X-Men Legends, that's why they chose Magma as the main character. Because it's like, people kind of know about Magma, but no one really gives a crap.
Wait, what? I mean, is the main villain or what?
No, it was the main character.
In X-Men Legends?
Yes.
What?
Magma was the main character in X-Men Legends.
What? Not like any of the X-Men were.
Magma is an X-Men. She's a really unknown X-Men.
Why is she?
She's one of the New Mutants.
How come I've not heard of her and I've played that game?
I don't know how you could have played the game and not heard of her, considering she was the main character.
It's been so long. I guess I just forgot completely she ever existed.
Yeah.
Interesting. Memory will do that to you. All right. Anyway, did you have anything else to say about
it? No, I just think it's interesting to consider like a different dynamic between a comic book movie as a team versus as a single character.
No, I think it's definitely interesting. It would be hard to think about. You know, all the games we're saying were extremely effective are all single superhero games.
Yeah.
Batman, Arkham City, Arkham Asylum, Beenox's Spider-Man games, Comic Jumper, Infamous, Wolverine Origins, you know, Captain America even. And then you go to things like X-Men, and you go to things like Justice League Heroes, and we could go on and on. And I think your point there holds up. Except for Marvel Ultimate Alliance and X-Men Legends. Those games are good.
But. I like those games. I think they were still very general, though. I never felt like I am the X-Men as much as I felt like I'm being Wolverine now and kicking ass. But this isn't, you know,
and like everybody wants to play Wolverine.
Understand him as a character.
As soon as you switch off Wolverine, like whoever's like the other player is like, oh, I'm going to switch on to him. He's awesome.
So all right, let's end with what's your favorite? What do you think is one of, if not your, you know, like definitive favorite, what's your bet? What do you think's your favorite game with superhero? Like
Wolverine Origins, probably. I think I probably had more fun playing Wolverine Origins, probably looking over these. Either that or Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 is great. I'd say it's a three-way tie. This isn't fair, but Marvel Ultimate Alliance, the one I just mentioned, it slipped my mind.
Wolverine.
And what was the other one I really love?
Arkham Asylum?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Those are my three. No, those are definitely my three. And then if I had to pick, I'd probably see Arkham Asylum as the best game of all of those. But Marvel Ultimate Alliance is really excellent too. The other two are like tied for second. Anyway, you're up, Jordan.
Oh, I'm up.
Tim can go.
No, I'll go. I've got it. I asked the question. I should have it. No, I think for me, it is a bit of a toss-up, but I think gameplay-wise, I love Web of Shadows.
Wow, Web of Shadows.
I felt like Spider-Man in that game. Even when the story was really
cheesy.
It's a
closet call, that's all.
I had a lot of issues with it. I don't know, maybe not. I think in terms of open-world Spider-Man, that one really nails it. In the same way 2 does. I just think it was more polished. Maybe not story and voice acting, like I said, but I really like it. And then I also really like Edge of Time, which I feel was really fun to play. And
Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, probably Arkham Asylum. Nice. Would be my third.
Nice, man. Tim.
Are we talking pure enjoyment or, you know, respect as...
How about you pick two, and one will be enjoyment, one will be...
X-Men arcade game.
Okay.
I love
you
that
sure
game.
You sure that's not about MAGFest?
No, I love the X-Men arcade game.
Okay.
I played that game probably, I don't know, every weekend for like
I did too.
3 years when I was a kid.
Oh, I spoke too soon. I did not do that. I did not do
that.
For
like 3 years, I'd always go down to this local miniature golf place and I would just play the fuck out of X-Men every weekend. I have so many good memories of that game. And so that's, you know, pure enjoyment. You're not going to beat X-Men the arcade game for me. But in terms of, you know, pure quality of a game, it goes Arkham Asylum, no question.
Awesome. On that note, real quick, within 30 seconds, what are you going to be playing, Jordan?
What am I going to be playing? Well, there's a good chance we won't have met, so probably...
In the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, probably Kingdom Hearts, Birth by Sleep, Dream Drop Distance.
You're going to pick that up?
Probably, but it also means I have to buy a circle pad, so we'll see. If not that, then I will probably...
Is that game fully Circle Pad Pro compatible?
Yeah. Yeah, that one is made for it, I think. Actually, yeah, that's about all I can think of. More Spelunky and more Quantum Conundrum until I finish it.
Awesome. And more Yakuza 3.
Yeah. Perhaps. There's a couple of games I need to finish.
Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's lame. But anyway, okay.
Speaking of which, have you finished that yet?
No, I'm working on it, man.
Get there.
You need to end that relationship, man.
Working on it. Working on it. Yeah, that actually be more applicable to another relationship I'm in. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Arkham Asylum, because I thought I'd be able to get to it by now, but I have not started it.
You mean City.
Arkham City, yes, Arkham City. So play Arkham City, and then probably Enslaved. That was my agenda last time, and I'm going to do that now.
It's so good, awesome.
It is a good game.
For me, I am going to play Apollo Justice. I'm really...
That's a long time
I know,
coming.
I have it. I want to play it. I want to play some novel...
visual novels.
Visual novel stuff, or visual novel-esque stuff. So I'm going to play that. I'm going to play Hotel Dusk, and I also have the sequel. I imported it, so I really want to play those. I'm just, like, in the mood. I kind of feel like reading lately, and, like, I also want to play video games and be able to talk about them here. So I think those are a really good call. So
sounds
that's
good.
What I'll be playing. On that note, this has been The Joy of Gaming, Episode 12, The Superhero Edition. I'm your host, Rich Lepore, and I am here with...
Jordan Alseca.
And Tim McNeil.
And the fun will continue in a couple weeks. Until then... Play some awesome games. Bye-bye.